The other quick point to make is that revolutions can begin as the result of individual unfocused activities that then have a domino effect. Such an event might be an assassination. There was a big plot, the so-called Cato Street Conspiracy, which was unmasked in 1820, a conspiracy to blow up members of the cabinet as they sat down to dinner. It was foiled because the government had spies, and it came to nothing. But it needn't necessarily have done. On the other hand, there was an assassination. The only British Prime Minister to have been assassinated, a man called Spencer Perceval, was assassinated in the lobby of the House of Commons in 1812. Not actually by a political radical. And again, I haven't got time to go into the details of that. But it did produce a certain amount of destabilisation, but not destabilisation which political radicals were able to undertake. Let's just end up by saying, OK, is it possible that there could have been a revolution? Well, as I've indicated, it is possible. And it is certainly the case that the numbers of people supporting the cause of parliamentary reform increased with each stage of the development of political radicalism. It's possible. On the other hand, I'm not entirely sure that it was likely. Radical leaders disagreed on a number of issues. There was quite a bit of jockeying for position from radical spokesmen. It was easier to agitate individuals in particular towns than to integrate them. And the attempts at revolution did come to relatively little, the Pentridge Rising, the Cato Street Conspiracy. Governments were actually quite alert to the threat. They did, to great effect, employ spies, agents provocateurs. They also, they learned the lesson of Peterloo in this, they also were anxious not to create martyrs. In that sense, the Peterloo so-called massacre was an own goal, and the radicals didn't let them forget it. But in general, radical activity was met by the authorities by arresting radical leaders, holding them sometimes without trial. The so-called suspension of the Habeas Corpus Amendment Act took place on numerous occasions between the 1790s and the 1830s. And that gave the authorities the opportunity to lock away those they considered to be troublemakers. And then, when mass agitation declined, as it usually did, when economic conditions improved and people had jobs again and they could afford to buy food for their families, radicals were quietly let out. The sentences passed on them were not in general fearsome, although it has to be said that the new weapon of transportation was used to some effect in the 1820s and 1830s. But I think if you have to make a judgment on how much of a threat radicalism was to the existing authorities, you'd conclude that pressure from without was unlikely to bring the walls tumbling down. There was enough pressure for change from within, not revolutionary change, evolutionary change, if you like, but change aimed at making the government more accountable, aimed at not, as it were, picking on working classes and overtaxing them. But that's, I suppose, another story. Let's just say that the threat of revolution was possible rather than probable in this period.